Covering the great state of Arizona, it is Rosie on the House. To join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. And the garden and the landscape, talking trees today. We're going to bring Art, staying in Sedona, into the conversation and see how we can help him on this beautiful Arizona. Good morning, Art.
Yes, this is Art. Good morning.
Go ahead.
I have a flowering plum. And it has developed some nodules of various sizes, not only on the trunk, but on the branches. They're not weeping. I've done some research, and I can't find anything that looks like that. The branch, all the branches are alive. By the way, I also have two trees. Well, let's see, 20 feet away from it is another plum tree, and it's a fruit bearing plum, and it's just starting to get a couple of these little nodules. But back to my flowering plum, which has quite a few. The branches are alive. That's already starting to bud. Given the weather we have, it's acting like spring here. My question is, I have never seen these before. I don't know what they are, and is this going to be detrimental to my tree? It's an older tree, by the way.
What do y'all think? Do we have an idea what the question is?
Yeah, it's hard to picture what these nodules are, and you say they're on the bark and on the branches?
Correct.
And how large, you know, I mean, are these inch in size? What diameter are these?
Anywhere from, anywhere from maybe 2 inches in diameter to an inch in diameter.
Are they made out of, or are they created out of the, are they bumped out of the tree, or is it sap that's oozed out and hardened into a crystallized thing?
They're hard. It just looks like the tree has grown a muscle, you might say, just bulging from the bark.
It isn't what I thought it was then.
No, I think this could just be a genetic, you know, thing. It's probably normal. It's probably normal bark tissue. The tissue sometimes forms in odd shapes. We have galls and burls that form on trees, which are have various causes. But we've seen that on some trees too. Some very unusual bumps and lumps. I have a friend of mine in Seattle, Washington, has a very similar fruit tree that's got some very strange bumps and lumps on it, but it doesn't seem to have affected the health of the tree. There's not fissures and breaks in the bark where there's actually a wound. So if the tree is otherwise healthy, I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
You know, the caller from Sedona brings up an interesting point that we're having spring-like weather. You know, we haven't had, I mean, it's been like 3-4 years in a row. By now, we've had a pretty aggressive, severe freeze.
Yeah, we had a little frost early in December. We had some, you know, it damaged bougainvilleas, the real tender things. But, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it kind of seems like it's been every other year. We have a hard freeze and then kind of a mild winter and then a hard freeze. Last year, it was about this last week, about the 10th, 11th, 12th of January.
It is hard.
It wasn't a frost. It was a hard, damaging, killing freeze.
Yeah.
So you never know.
You don't.
Till about the middle of February, like John said, don't do heavy pruning on, especially subtropical and tropicals because, you know, you can damage. The other reason not to prune a lot of those plants in the winter is then they don't regrow. They look pruned back for months. They pruned some Texas sage at a shopping center at 64th Street and Greenway, clear back to the main scaffold trunks, which would have been a fine rejuvenation pruning if they'd have done it about the middle of February or early March, because then they'd have just popped right out and and done that. But really, they did it in like November.
Well, the difficulty now, too, is a lot of the trees are pushing a little bit of spring growth right now, a little flush of growth, which is even more susceptible to a late frost. So,
especially in Sedona and higher elevation, those fruit trees could end up getting damaged.
And Brian in Ash Fork is called in with that exact thing. He's got some fruit trees that are blooming, and he wants to know how to protect it. Brian?
Yikes.
Yes, that's exactly my question. My fruit trees don't think it's winter. And so I've been watering since it's, you know, plenty warm. And I watered
them
this morning, because, you know, and I just looked at them like, wow, they're going to bud. Oh, my God, we're going to freeze again.
Yeah, another good point, especially in the colder climates of Arizona, even though it's been, you know, cool and still cold, it's been very dry. So you do need to start watering, especially if they're trying to push new growth. Now, I don't know, short of if you do get a late cold snap, of covering the trees with some frost protection, some frost material, making sure they're watered, there's just not a lot else you could do.
Yeah, keep your eye on the weather report. And if you see that we have a forecast for some cold weather coming, you might want to do a little frost protection.
I wonder if we're talking three trees or 30 trees.
Yeah.
Right. I only have four fruit trees.
Well, okay. They won't have too bad an issue trying to protect them then.
Well, let's move down to Tempe and bring Art into the conversation. He wants to talk about his ash tree. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I'm here.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I have this ash tree. I believe it's a Modesto ash. It has the smaller leaves in it anyway, and it has the little kind of a winged, single-wing seed, sharp-pointed seed thing that comes off of it. So I believe that's Modesto ash. Anyway, it's probably 25 years old. I estimate 35, 40 feet high. But the bark is fairly heavy and thick, but it's sloughing off of the main trunk and some of the larger branches.
Well, I'm not sure what the cause of that would be, but we are very concerned about sun damage. If it's on the western and southern sides of the trunk and branches, very likely it's sun damage. Ash, even though they're a thick bark tree, are very subject to sunburn. So if that's the case, sometimes that where that bark is sloughing off, that the cambium beneath there that supported the water nutrients is dead. And you'll just, you know, you can either leave the bark on the tree so it doesn't look so bad, or you can pull it off. But you'll find that there will be, at the edges of that damaged area, there will be some callus with this beginning to form around that wound. There's another concern with ash trees. Some of the older ash trees have had an insect problem. It's a carpenter worm, which gets into these trees and burrows down into the wood, and the larva from this moth actually feeds on the dead wood in ash trees. And we've seen a lot of those trees that have been affected by this. So kind of keep your eye out for any what looks like sawdust. It's the frass from these larvae, these caterpillars, which these worms that you'll see around some small about 3/8-inch holes. If there's any holes near that affected bark area, you need to get a hold of a certified arborist and get that looked at as soon as possible.
I've also seen, too, where some of those really old ash trees get, you know, a lot of bark. You just get pieces of bark that are coming off. And if it's not peeling all the way back to the tissue underneath, it's just a little bark peeling off. That's kind of normal. But the other issue is kind of like sun damage to our skin. There's some ash trees in a neighborhood by our Scottsdale store. They're big, beautiful trees, but they're already sunburned. And as they get older, at some point, that's going to manifest itself into cracking and peeling. And you can look at the southwest sides of those trees, and they've got an orangish cast to them. And, you know, they're already sunburned. So the damage may well be done. It may not show up for a long time, but there is some damage.
And on sunburn, we talk often about protecting your citrus trunk, the white paint we've seen everywhere, the new Go Natural that blends in. Is that something, can you paint these ash trees when they're younger or
you
even
should.
These older ones?
They're, in my opinion, ash and pecans and citrus as young trees, especially the deciduous young trees like ashes and pecans, really ought to be painted or wrapped the day they're planted.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, any kind of protection is good for those smaller trees.
Now, on our January tree calendar, we've got olive trees listed here. For olive tree owners, what's important
for
them to
know? Well, it's one tree that an evergreen tree that we often prune this time of year, because those of you who have your mature olive trees sprayed to prevent fruiting so they don't produce a lot of olive drop, that spraying begins in January and goes through till about March. So we recommend pruning the trees this time of year so you get better spray coverage when you get the trees done.
Very good. And do y'all do spraying or just the trimming?
We just do the trimming.
And yeah. Do you have a referral you can recommend people to?
We do. We have a couple of companies that do some spray work for us. We'd be happy to let them know.
That's kind of like pre-emergent for an olive tree.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. If you don't want to harvest olives and you don't want a lot of purple poop from birds all over you, it's probably a good idea.
Let's bring John and Glendale into the conversation. A navel orange question. John, welcome.
Yeah, good morning. I live in Glendale. I get irrigated. Been doing it for 30 years. Got about a six-year-old orange tree, navel orange, about 12 feet tall. And when you pick the oranges, they all look good, but the inside's all white and kind of just seedy.
It's probably dry, isn't it? Kind of fibery and dry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, navels are a coastal, they prefer, coastal California, not real high temperatures, moist air. They do better in groves where they're surrounded by other trees. They do very well in irrigation. My guess is the fact that it's a young tree and you're flood irrigating, what, about every 13 days in the summertime?
It quit in the end of October.
Yeah, they just need more water than that as a young tree. Now, as they get completely matured and they're shading themselves more and they've got a bigger canopy, you'll be okay with that. But as a young tree, it's just not enough water. And those fruit, the moisture just gets used back out of those fruits, or the fruits get dehydrated from the heat.
I was thinking, too, there's a possibility they could have been frost damaged back in December.
Because that's another symptom of that.
Our navel also was pretty frost damaged. We lost several fruits. Others of our citrus didn't seem to be affected, but the navels...
They are more prone to that, and that one little cold snap we had about the first week of December would have been about the timing when those navels were just starting to get kind of ripe, and that could have done it. You're right. That is another symptom of freezing. It dehydrates the fruit.
Now, you had said it's a young tree. It's 6 years old. At what point would that 13-week irrigation or 13-day irrigation be okay?
Well, it's okay now. It's just not going to provide the best quality of fruit, perhaps. And it could be other situations. There's other extenuating circumstances. But I'd also want to know, those fruits that are like that, are they on the outside edge of the tree? Are those fruits inside the tree? Are they on the south or west side of the tree? Are they the most exposed fruits? That would probably answer some of that. If they are, then it could be either frost damage or just lack of moisture.